This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hey guys, before you get into the show, we have a great idea.
You should order some booze and get it delivered to you to drink while you listen.
Whoa, that is awesome. How do I do that?
Saucy is beer, wine, spirits ordered online and delivered directly to your door.
What? Alcohol delivery in 30 minutes? Get out of town, Ellen.
So many things.
That says 10,000 products. That's insane.
That's crazy. I mean, they have
prices. You can
beer,
order craft beer,
wine,
spirits,
mixers, ice. You can get ice.
Oh, they even have a mobile app.
You can get Fritos, too.
Fritos?
Yeah. I would order the Ravenswood and the Fritos.
Yeah, I would do that. Oh, I like the Underwood can rosé.
Yeah, they have rosé all day.
Free delivery, guys.
It's crazy. And in 30 minutes, or you can schedule it, too.
Yeah, you can do that, too. So if you want to get 10% off on your order, and I think that's every time, right?
I do believe.
You can go to boardwalkaudio.com/saucy, and that's S-A-U-C-E-Y, saucy.
Get saucy. And drink with us.
Yeah, we're about to drink. You should have a glass with us.
Yeah.
Yay. Reach out.
I just drink wine. Wine.
Live a little.
Live a little.
Live a level. Get into the meat of the show.
The meat.
The meat.
The meat and potatoes. We're going to be the little dinner side salad to start.
Yeah.
Dressing on the side.
We're the amuse-bouche.
Amuse-bouche?
Amuse-bouche.
Ooh.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la la. Ooh, well. La la la.
Welcome to the wine situation. Okay, now that we've gotten that out of the way.
Yeah, gosh. Now that we got the synchronicity out of the way.
Yeah. We always have to do it that way now. I like it.
Yeah, we do.
It gets us like...
Get this
tuned in and ready.
Ellen started to do like a mirror exercise with me,
movement kind of
exercise. Yeah, we're doing like
mirroring each other.
Suzuki technique, you guys.
Yeah.
We are trained performers.
I bet you can't wait for us to be on YouTube with video as well, as because then you could see this madness.
And also you could see the live show where we do full...
We're going to have that where we do full-on Suzuki
Full Suzuki
exercise.
While we talk.
We're like holding statue poses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Ellen Clifford.
Ellen.
And that's Sean Buchholz over there. Maybe we should slip our names in at some point.
Yeah. This is the wine situation. If you guys are listening and you don't know what the show is about, well, we're going to tell you. The show is about our friends... Our acquaintances.
What they want to whine about.
What they want to whine about with an H.
Whine with an H.
And then we pair a wine, W-I-N-E, to go with it. So,
yeah. And we can do that. You know, Sean helped up in Bar Covell. He is the wine whisperer who will magically look into your soul and pull out not a Chardonnay necessarily.
Not necessarily a Chardonnay. And Ellen is the brains. The brains. The computer. Go the, computer. Okay, computer.
Input wine. Input wine.
Input wine. Input desire. Output wine. And she passed the W sets and all that accreditation programs.
All that good stuff.
And all those tests that you passed.
Yeah, the advanced level.
Yeah.
You know.
So basically,
like,
you know, the show is an excuse for me to drink wine and...
for me to recite facts. Basically.
I think we just finally figured out our show. Episode 20.
Shit. This is episode 20.
It's an excuse for me to drink. And for Ellen to recite facts she's memorized.
While drinking. To challenge myself, because I'm that genius.
Love it.
Let's do the hip-sip-tip, what we're drinking when nobody's looking.
Do you want to go ahead, Ellen? You go first.
Sure. Yeah. I had Kelly from Golden State Wine was tasting me on all these Portuguese wines, and I, for the first time in my life, had a white port. I don't remember the name of what it was. Yeah, it was...
Was it the Kopke? Kopke makes a white port.
I don't remember what it was. It was when I was staging at Faith and Flower, and she was there. She'd done a flyby, and Jared's like, go taste with her, and I'm sure. And yeah, this white port, it was so magical. It was like toasted nuts and caramel. It's a dessert wine, and I'm not a big dessert wine, but this was, and I really wanted, my pairing suggestion was cinnamon toast.
Oh, that's really good.
It's like, that would be so good for dessert.
There's also a great cocktail with white port and tonic and like a little lemon zest. It's really good.
That sounds great too.
It's very good. It's very delicious.
Is that a dry port?
It's a dry port.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This one was a sweet one, but
it was sweet. Yeah,
it was. But they, you know, port comes in many faces.
The faces of port.
Anyway, it was the first for me, and I was excited about it.
Well, that's exciting.
It was exciting. What did you drink?
I had a Sancerre Rosé, Pinot Noir Rosé. Yeah, it was very pale. It was delicious. It was, you know, it had all the great sort of minerality, super dry, you know, granite rock, and then a little bit of zippiness, like the ever so essence of strawberry, and it just, it goes back so delicious.
If you were blinded on it, do you think you would know it was a rosé, or would you think it was a white?
Oh, I would know it was a rosé.
Oh, okay.
Because of that slight strawberry sort of, it's that essence of berry.
The essence of berry coming through. Nice. I have not had much.
Like all that LaCroix I've drunk. It's like,
you know,
essence of berry,
does.
Essence of pomelo.
I mean, one of these days I want my hip-sip-tip to be like the LaCroix I drink whenever I go to Sean's. I don't really like flavored seltzer. To me, it never tastes strong enough. But yet, for some reason, it's a treat for me whenever I go to Sean's to have our planning meetings. I'm like, ooh, there's LaCroix. And I get excited about it.
Just bought two cases.
Ooh, party at Sean's. LaCroix time.
Woo!
Let's introduce our guest.
Yeah, let's intro our guest.
You might know him from his new exciting podcast, Homophilia. He's written on the new Heathers, on bajillion-dollar properties. Mm-hmm. Matt McConkey.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Matt.
How's it going?
Good.
While you were doing your hip-sip tip, I was running around, moving furniture, trying to control my dog let me bring.
Oh, little Faye.
You should see this dog. She's got a mohawk.
Yeah.
A half
mohawk.
She
had a little surgery, so she has a punky asymmetrical haircut. She's got droopy eyes. She's
a sweetheart.
She's not
she's
what I'm here to whine about.
She's very sweet, but no,
she's
no.
Very sweet.
She's the sweetest.
I mean, I'm obsessed with her in a way that is very unhealthy, but I appreciate you letting me bring her.
No, we're happy to have her.
Yeah.
You guys have such great radio voices. I'm sure everyone tells you that. I feel like your voices sound like what, in my very limited palate, what drinking a really good, like, red feels like.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Wow.
It's like one of the nicest things anyone's ever said.
Just rich and pleasant.
Aw.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah, and unpretentious.
What?
That's true.
And we're blushing over here. We're turning the color of rosé.
You're doing a real service to give people something to whine about. Yeah. While drinking, wine is you know, no small thing.
Mm. Well, we figure, you know, if you have something to whine about, we should make it better.
Yeah.
So, and wine accomplishes that.
Yeah.
Usually.
Right? Yeah.
Usually it helps me. It just sort of like softens the edges.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like being shot through cheesecloth. It's like,
what?
You know, like Barbara Streisand?
I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking
what
about.
What is cheesecloth?
When I think of cheesecloth, I think of straining some kind of fancy cocktail with things that I don't want in my drink.
Yeah, cheesecloth is a straining mechanism. The image,
or making
a
cheese.
Lens. It's like a lens or a filter they put over the. It's a filter they put over the lens.
Oh, you meant being shot on film. I thought you meant being shot with a gun through cheesecloth, which still
wouldn't maybe like soften the blow.
Like a silencer.
You don't see it coming.
Soak up the blow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm gonna have to rethink this.
Honestly, in both scenarios, being shot through a cheesecloth is better than no cheesecloth.
True.
No cheesecloth at all. You're right. So thank you, our sponsor, cheesecloth.
Thank you, our sponsor, Greg Condas.
That's right.
Who brought us the wine that we're going to pair with? What would you like to wine?
Yeah.
About?
What do you want to wine about, Matt?
Well, I was thinking about this on the way here because I told you what my topic was. But is Covell? I've been to Covell, but only on the sidebar.
Oh, okay.
Is Covell a small plate restaurant?
Based on the fact that you have sandwiches, I would say no.
No, but there is a small plate option on the menu, a category.
Okay, great.
That actually says small plates.
Great.
I'm fine
with that.
And that's totally fine. I'm on board for
it's
your
not, wine. I was having trouble summarizing what I wanted to whine about, but I summarized it when you asked as just small plates.
And I'm excited to get into this topic because I really want to hear your philosophy. I want to try and understand
it. It's not even a philosophy. It's like, I'm going to sound like such a grouchy asshole.
You just don't want to share.
Here's where it starts for me is when you go to a restaurant, and I mean, assuming this is universal, but it's a very much an LA thing. When you sit down and the waiter comes over and asks if you've ever been here before, it's like,
Nope,
I haven't. Don't need an explanation. I know how this is going to work. I'm going to look at the menu and I'm going to get, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm immediately like the arrogance of that. It's like, oh, I'm going to have to explain to you how this works, because every time they explain it, I'm like, you know what? I could have figured that
Usually
out.
Usually it's things come out as they're ready explanation.
Yes, things are meant to be shared.
Order everything at once.
Yeah.
And it's family always like style.
A place that you go with like your friend and her parents, where you don't have quite the level of comfort of just being like, I'm fucking hungry. I want to order an entree for me, and you guys do you. I'm not trying to take away anything. But then everyone is nervously taking like one spoonful of Brussels sprouts, and everyone's like hungry but afraid, and it's like,
oh wow,
hungry but afraid.
Yeah, it's like
that's just Los Angeles, right? Isn't that just Los Angeles?
Actually,
there's that too.
That's
yeah.
the just hungry actor's and afraid. Plight.
No, but that's true. I never thought about that. Like having like a dinner with like a new father-in-law or, you know, a family or something, and like a slightly uncomfortable dinner, and then it's a small plate share restaurant, and all of a sudden you're thrown into this really intimate sort of like dining experience.
See, for me, I feel like it's easier to mask like how much I either do or don't want to eat with small plates, because usually everyone's go for what I want and not.
That is an advantage of it, yes.
But I don't know. Yeah, I get that. And my friend Maurice, we go out to eat, and he's always like, but can I get a meal?
Yeah.
It seems to be like
he's a Viking.
My friend, I have a girlfriend who does that. He's from Texas.
He does a lot of Ren Fairs. He's not a
small plate man. Well, I mean,
no.
Sure. Cheers.
He's in a lot of Capital One commercials.
Wine, and we'll explain how we picked our.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Oh, baby.
Mm. Oh, baby.
Oh.
Wow.
Mm. Oh, that's so tasty.
Thank you,
Greg Condo's Wines.
Thank you, Gregory Condo's Wines.
Do you want to read what it is? It is.
Oh, yeah. This is the Solomon Lindberg Grüner Veltliner.
We wanted a wine that, since you're annoyed by all the different plates, we wanted a single varietal from a singular vineyard. So, and we wanted something yet that would go with a lot of things. And we landed on a Grüner Veltliner, which is a white grape in Austria.
It feels so right. It's so good. And I'm just a sucker for a. How do you feel about a twist off cap?
I'm a fan, actually. If the wine's going to be drunk within 5 years, I'm a big fan, and I think all wine should have a twist off.
Really?
Yeah. If it's going to be drunk quickly, yeah. Do you not, Ellen?
I love the romance of popping a cork.
Yeah.
I do love the romance.
I don't work at a wine bar though, where I'm popping a cork.
Yeah. I'm like, for me, it's just pragmatic. This is my carpal tunnel.
Well, and the risk of cutting your hand if you don't do it perfectly.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also just in terms of spoilage. Like, so much wine is wasted because of wine being corked. Like, we've actually had a corked wine here before, where it could have easily been a twist off, and you wouldn't have noticed any difference in the quality of the wine. And then it wouldn't be corked, and you would save, you know, probably like 20 cases out of a batch. Because a lot of wine gets corked, especially wines that are like meant to be drunk right away, that are medium priced. Like they don't spend a lot of money on corks. Because nice corks are expensive, of course. Of corks.
Of course.
So, you know, I love a twist off for that reason.
They're in New Zealand and Australia. That's like all you got.
Pretty much. Australia is really like pushing for
Although in New Zealand, I feel like it's just apparently so humid there. It partly has to do with them just being scared of any kind of contamination.
That's probably true. And also the Australians are just, you know, they don't give a
fuck.
When it is corked, is it just a taste issue, or is there actual like danger?
There's TCA, which I...
It's a taste issue.
It's a fungus, though.
It is a fungus, yeah.
Yeah. But it tastes bad.
Okay. Yeah, but it's not, I don't think it's I mean, it's not harmful. You can drink cork wine for sure and still get like fucked up, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. We're
that
in the
was
club.
My real question.
Yeah, if you're in the club and you want to get drunk, drink the cork.
That sweet corked wine.
Oh, yeah. That cold duck.
Get
I don't care if it's
up.
Corked.
Mm-hmm. Getting corked in here.
Yeah, so all you alcoholics out there, you could drink your corked wine.
I was thinking.
I'm giving a shout out to my...
Shout out to the alcoholics and the corked wine.
There's got
to
be some in your audience.
I mean there's got to be, right?
Well, I've had some times I've had wine that I'm like, this is turned a little, or it's like so bready. I'm like, there's something, like show it to them. They're like, oh, yeah. But I had a friend once with me, and it was just mildly bready, but I don't like... Brettanomyces is another wine thing that can be wrong. And I had a friend with me, and she's like, I kind of like it. Mm-hmm. I was like, you can take the bad wine, sure.
There's also the whole theory of,
is
like...
Is it bad or...
A lot of, like, Loire wines. Like
a lot of
French,
Rhone wines Rhone, have a little Brett.
Yeah.
I don't mind...
But also...
Brett.
Brettomyces. It's a yeast.
Yeah, and a little bit of it, it tends to have this sort of, like, animal nature to it. Like, our teacher once described it as, she's like, it's like sweaty meat. It's like, yeah. Oh, God.
Yes.
A little bit of that in a Rhone Valley Syrah, though, can be pleasant. It
okay, so you don't want to avoid Brett altogether, but...
You don't need... A little can be okay.
A little goes a long way.
Okay. Yeah. A little goes a long way, but it's also a sign of, like, contaminated wineries, yeah. Like not uh-huh. clean wineries necessarily.
If it's too much.
So there's definitely a taboo associated.
Yeah,
there's but a stigma attached.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a stigma, but it's also... And then also, conversely, it's used in making sour beers. Mm. Have you heard of the whole, like, sour beer phenomenon? Like,
yes.
You know, sours are the one kind of beer I can tolerate.
Yeah. Oh, like, so?
What, so what's apparently I like Brett.
So you like Brett there? Oh, boom.
That's a I know.
Big alcohol
I know.
Nerd joke.
I'm never
right
allowed
there.
To send back Bretty wines again.
When you first started saying it, I heard Bretty wines, Bretty. Which I was like, that sounds delicious. Like,
yeah.
That's just champagne.
Well, it is wines. Yeasty, but yeah. It's Brettana. Yeah, Brett.
Brettanomyces.
That darn Brett.
What's an example of a sour beer that I would know? Is there like
Alambic,
a popular?
Right?
Alambic. Petrus is a popular brand. Of sour beer.
They don't taste beery.
Have you ever
me.
Had like a goose ale? G-O-S-E?
No. I love IPAs and I know that, but when I'm sort of questioned beyond that, I fall apart. Yeah. They're like, "But is it because you like the hoppiness, or is it because you like that?" I'm like, I don't know. I have no vocabulary.
You're just like a strong flavor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The one I had that made me be like, "Oh, maybe occasionally this would be okay." It was like a cross between some kind of berry juice and balsamic vinegar is what it tasted like. To
yeah,
me.
It is. It's very vinegary.
I didn't
yeah.
have that like overly. See, that's funny because to me, beer has this like overly like gnarly. Yeast flavor that's what turns me off, but I don't taste it as much in sours.
Mm.
What turns me off is that I get fat when I drink a lot of it.
Yeah,
and
that's why I can.
You know, and I would be drinking mm-hmm. a lot more of it than I do.
Beer's delicious too.
Reason,
I do love beer.
I wish I liked it.
My dog is trying to make a bed on your bag.
Oh,
a bag.
She can. It's just a bag.
They just laid down.
So how do you feel about Korean barbecue? That's my.
Yeah, we have so many different types.
So many different like small. Plate
yeah,
questions.
Same here.
I'm trying to remember if I have even been to Korean barbecue in real life or if I just associate it with having seen it in movies.
Oh, no, you would know because it's like 1,000 plates come on the table like all of a sudden and then there's like usually like a grill in the middle and they're like grilling meat. But there's
yes.
a million tiny
I've been to Korean
plates.
Barbecue. I've been okay. to Korean barbecue and it's fine. I mean, stuff like that is fun on a date when you're really not thinking about your hunger levels. You're yeah. thinking mm-hmm. more about just trying to charm the person that you're with or something. Yeah. But when I want to drill down to just function, a small plate thing pisses me off.
Question, yeah. Where are you from?
Ohio.
Okay, because I have a few friends who have the I want a meal thing and they're all from Texas. So
yeah,
like,
I mean, I think it's probably a similar mentality yeah. of just like a real sort of meat and potatoes mm-hmm. upbringing, which of course I always like wanted to get away from.
Cracker Barrel.
But, 100%.
Yeah, I'm like the polar opposite of you. I'm like, no, I can't decide what I want to eat. I want all the options yeah. and I want to eat some of everything, but I don't know.
Well, there's a reason that they are a phenomenon
yeah.
that they are, you know.
I'm sorry, I'm helping the cause.
We're getting the problem.
But
I'm driving the problem.
It's not even the small plates themselves that I issue with. I think it's more the like that moment I was talking about of like, have you been here before?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Like that mm-hmm. aspect
so
of it.
It's the whole restaurant attitude that goes with it.
Yes, yeah. And it's almost the message I take away from it is like, by the way, I don't actually care if you're hungry. I'm here to introduce you to these intricate flavors and the very special dishes here, and you can taste them, but only a little bit, and then this goes away. And yeah. That's it. And
there are some restaurants that I feel like their chef has earned the right to do that, but then there's some restaurants where you're like, this is not good enough for this much attitude. Like,
well, it's like that whole like gastronomic like craze in food where there's like foam and there's like something that's been like an egg has been fashioned into like an old timey ship. And then you're like, I'm like, and I went to one of those restaurants once and I was like, it was interesting.
Which
but,
one?
Bazaar.
Oh, one, I've heard. Yeah, I've always wanted to check it out.
It was,
but I wouldn't go there expecting to get full.
No, and I did not get full. And all I could think about was how many people touched my food before it finally got to my. Because, like,
all
it doesn't, like, food doesn't come like that. And an egg looks like an egg.
The waiter kissed it before he gave it to you.
Basically, and I looked in the kitchen and there's like, you know, 100 people back there all like touching stuff and making things. And I'm like, all I could think of all the people touching this one bite that came out, this one tiny bite.
Yeah.
And I just was like, this is stupid. And it's kind of like Emperor's, like, you know, wears no clothes.
Well, I think it's also just like the art of cooking and food is a little bit lost on me. And I don't think I have the reverence for it that I do believe it deserves. Mm-hmm. And like when people talk about the phenomenon of restaurant, the like all dark restaurants where
I don't believe in that because I'm like, we are human beings that we're made to use all our senses. And that literally, it's like, yes, something tastes different if you see it because like that's how your brain works. So I don't get the all dark thing either.
I guess the part I kind of resent is that it's like, this is a sensual experience. And it's and I'm like, oh,
that's a creepy experience.
Stop making food so important. Yeah. I think that's what, here's what
it's a gimmick is what it is. Yeah.
I don't mind making food important because I'm a food nerd. But,
you
don't have to bow down to it if you don't want to.
I think that there's just what I'm rebelling against is coming from this very meat and potatoes Ohio background I came from, but a family where food was literally, you know, people always say like, all my family talks about is food, but it's like, no, this was like a pathological.
Oh, wow.
There was no, it was every dinner, we always sat at the dinner table for dinner.
In St. Louis, I grew up, so I hear you.
Silence. If there was conversation, it was literally only about the food we were eating or were going to eat.
Wait, your parents never asked you how you're
doing? No, that was the thing. I was like, guys, who cares about that? Yes, it's good. It's fine.
It's all making sense now.
No, this is the psychology behind it that sets me off. Is that I was kind of like, yes, it's delicious. I'm good for about one sentence of description of the food.
Yeah.
And then let's get to the human beings that are like, how was your day? What's going on?
Is this because like your mom cooked a lot and cooked like elaborate meals, or your dad cooked a lot and cooked elaborate meals? Or you just wanted to talk about
just like normal Midwestern hostility where people don't like each other and they're not able, they don't have the ability to communicate their feelings kind of thing.
So they'll talk about the potato.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The potato's it's a little dry. But it's a little dry. Could you pass the sour cream? I wish.
I'm triggered right now, Sean.
Oh, man.
You're taking
me right back. Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Get off that.
No, I mean, but that is, you know, that's literally it.
Oh, man. So sitting here in this podcast, if we were to talk about something else, what would you want to? I'm like, oh no, we're actually putting you in the situation you want to avoid. Talking about, I'm like, I feel so guilty now.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh no,
it's
no.
Becoming like a sense memory acting class.
Oh god.
No.
Go back to your first day of kindergarten.
Because I really do. I have a great respect for people that have a passion about food and cooking and stuff. Yeah. I don't necessarily share it.
Yeah.
But I'm trying.
No one needs to. Everyone has their own thing.
Yeah. Do you cook at home? Are you a home cook?
I just started to. Mm-hmm. We do one of those. How do you guys feel about the? It's called Sun Basket, but it's the same thing.
I was looking at that one.
How do you feel about those?
I've been thinking about it.
I'm part of me that is the person who lives alone and it's like, recipes can be a pain in the ass because you have to buy a huge amount of something. But then part of me is like, oh, all the packaging and all the stuff. So I see the good and the bad.
Yeah.
I like to bake mainly and everything else. I just eat plain out of bowls. So I don't think it would be for me, but I see the value for someone who wants a different meal every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the funny thing about it is like, as someone who's railed against this stuff, then I'll do it and I'm like, this is actually fun. I really do like it. You know?
Cooking, getting in touch with your food.
It is fun, yeah.
Yeah. And my boyfriend will come home and I will have made dinner for him.
Yeah.
And I'll be like,
that's so
right.
Nice.
That's right. You made dinner for him.
I'll talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
Be like, don't you appreciate I slaved away in this kitchen all day?
All day. Well,
do you want to play What's in the Glass? Should we do that?
Oh, yeah. We can play What's in the Glass. I was thinking about my Blue Apron experience.
Oh, well, no. We can talk about that first.
I think it's better than like those like pre-made dinners. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 110%.
Like even like as elaborately delicious as those sound,
they take a lot of work.
Yeah, and then they're still not that good. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, like just like the frozen one, or not? You know, like there's certain like pre-made dinners that you just warm up. Basically, like Trader Joe's is what I'm basically referencing.
Yeah.
So it's better than that, and it's about the same amount of time, really. Yeah. I mean, it's like prep, but so yeah, that's my.
It always
two
feels
cents
a little bit like cheating to me. But I'm like, you know, all they've done is just made it easier.
No. My same friend who likes a meal on a plate, his when he had samples of Blue Apron, was like, Ellen, cook this for me. And I'm like, good God, it's that level. It's that level of
He just grabs the box and just puts it all in the microwave.
I mean, pretty much. But it was still a lot of work. I had to, like, cut things up and roast this separately and all to put together, like, a simple roasted beet salad. I was like, this is still a lot of work, and it would teach you, if you actually did it, it would teach you some things about cooking, but you're not going to do that, and you're not going to order it again because you just don't want to cook that much.
That's nice of you, Ellen, to do that.
I don't mind. I like to cook. I would probably do it from scratch if he asked. This is the friend I made bacon brownies once for, and I'm a vegetarian, and that was his birthday request, and I'm like...
Wow.
Does it gross you out to handle the bacon?
I made him the bacon need to be like cooked in a pan, and I was like, I don't even know how to do this. He did that part. I made the brownie batter and took care of stirring it in, which is sad. Then I had to. It turned on some sort of like animal, like meat and sweet thing in him, and he just like went in the corner of the room and was eating the brownie like an animal. It's like, okay, you enjoy your birthday brownie. You go now.
You're like, bah. He's like, turn out the lights.
I don't know what happened when I left that night.
Yeah. Is this all the same friend from Texas?
Yes.
He sounds like an animal.
We're getting a lot of information about this mystery person.
You've met Maurice. He comes to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. This is. And then you meet him, and it even is another level.
What?
I would never suspect this person to be like that.
You know, cordial.
Very cordial.
Well-behaved.
Yeah.
But behind closed doors, he's
behind closed doors. He's a food maniac, you guys.
A food maniac.
And that's why I love him, because I'm crazy about food. Let's play What's in the Glass.
What's in the glass?
Do you have enough to...
Fill them up.
I'll fill you up. What's in the Glass is where we all take a minute to kind of like analyze the wine. We all talk about what see, what do we taste, or what do we smell, then what do we taste. And you can do it as formally or make crazy metaphors if you want. It's just for the people at home who are like, I want to know what they're actually drinking.
And it's also just a reminder, people at home, you know, like to just take a moment when you're enjoying a glass of wine or a beer, to be in the moment, to
put
smell.
Put your goddamn phone down.
Your goddamn phone down. Get the swizzle straw out of the wine glass.
It's very much a, like, take a minute to actually look at what you're doing.
Yeah. And honestly, that's the hardest part about learning about wine is because usually when you drink wine, it's your end of the day. You're less exhausted. You want to just vent about what's happening. A lot of what the show is about,
not
too.
If you're drinking wine with me.
But to learn about wine, it takes like a focus. And a lot of people don't want to focus on what they're experiencing, you know, right or wrong, and be like, I don't, you know, you just don't want
to. There's nothing wrong with like having a wine that you just want to toss back. Like,
trust me, but... I get it. So Matthew. Cheers to that.
Cheers
again.
Cheers to the moment.
Cheers to the moment.
Cheers to the moment.
Well, I guess first sight on scene.
The goblets, like I've said, are not the best for looking at a wine, but it's a pale, it's a light wine.
Yeah. And these are gorgeous goblets, by the way. They're hefty.
Hefty, right?
I love these goblets.
They're famous.
They're honestly not the best for like wine tasting, but I inherited them from my grandma and they travel well, so.
Yeah, I love them.
What are you experiencing on the,
That was my glass dragging, not a fart, just because you heard that weird noise.
Everyone stop tweeting. Heard you fart.
I didn't fart on the podcast.
Yeah. We were editing out. It's happened multiple times, but we're editing it out. If you hear a weird pause in the podcast.
Keeps blaming it on Faye, the dog.
Well, gosh. Well, that is a...
I can imagine.
Just a
I'd ask you what you saw, but what were you going to say?
I mean, well, the first thing that struck me at first sip was like, it's not ice cold, and I actually really like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's intentional or if that's just a happy coincidence.
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Like, this is white wines are, red wines are often served too warm. White wines are sometimes served too cold.
Too cold.
This wine actually does have a bit of like, did it see a bit of oak? I'm trying to remember.
To the notes!
But it's a wine that has enough like flavor complexity that if it were too cold, it would just be like alcoholic Sprite. So
it sound too bad. But also, I get that that's not a good thing.
No, I would say I like the temperature it's at right now.
I do too.
Are you getting any like flavors that you want to like yell out?
I will. wish I mean, my vocabulary around flavors is so embarrassing.
Or it could just be reminds you of a certain meal or a time of year or like anything.
I mean, it is striking the perfect balance of sweetness for me in a white, that it doesn't seem like terribly dry, mm-hmm. but it is not.
It's got a bit of body to it, and I wonder did it undergo mellow?
What does that mean?
Maloactic ferment. It's a secondary fermentation that kind of rounds wine out.
It does not mention if it undergoes maloactic fermentation. So in Austria, they have all these different...
Austria's confusing.
Yeah, they have different levels of classifying wine that often have to do with how ripe the grape was when they picked it. And the riper the grape, then the more body, usually the sweeter, the more heft the wine's going to have. And they said this one is similar to what would be in the next... This is from Kremstal, which is like along the Danube. The Danube in the neighboring region, Wacker. It has the Smaragd level, which is like the highest, fullest body, and it said it's similar to that. So I'm guessing this got pretty ripe, so there might be a smidgen of residual.
Yeah, there's a lot of heft to this. Like, a lot of Grüners are really just crisp and light. They're like throwback wines, like really easy drinking.
But this one has a little more to it.
This has some weight to it, and this has some complexity, which is unusual, and also is a note of like a higher quality version of Grüner Veltliner from this region.
Yeah.
And from this country.
This is my experience every time I have the few times I've done any kind of tasting where I'm like, it's good, I like, and then people describe it, and I'm like, that's what I was doing. But I had no sense. I'm too disconnected from my own body to know what that was.
Well, it literally, I think it does take, I mean, it's just like, so, it's something we practice, so like, no one should need to or have to. Like,
no.
Just like, it's. What do you feel? What does it make you feel emotionally?
Yeah.
You know, like.
But I think it does speak to a thing that goes probably for wine and food, which is like sort of what we were talking about, just like what's in your glass, of actually like taking the time to experience what you're doing. Which my mentality that I'm coming from, I'm obviously not. You know,
but you're taking the time when you're writing something or when you're performing. You know what I mean? Like it's that same.
It's like not everyone has to.
not as much as I should.
You're just like mindlessly plunking keys and
just raging away.
Yeah, raging away.
But I guess what I'm saying is a small plate mentality might actually do me some good.
No,
you know what I mean?
Maybe you should like do like a little like gateway restaurant small plate.
Maybe you should
version with like a trusted friend.
Or go to one that you expect you're not expecting necessarily to get. Or go with just a friend.
Yeah.
What we're saying is we're all going to get small plates after this.
Yeah.
We won't judge how much.
Kismet, have you been to Kismet?
I haven't been there.
Kismet is great.
Yes, and it was delicious, and it was a place that I went with my friend and her parents.
Oh, no!
And I was so hungry, and I was like, I feel bad. I want more.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Maybe,
I
don't know. Maybe this is a sign that I just need to be more concerned of what people think of me, but I'm like, usually with food, I'm just like, well, I'm going to eat what I eat, and what I don't,
The way, you are
But you're so concerned about what they're... About etiquette.
It's a nice way of putting it, but I think I'm just a little bit more of a monster than you
so,
are.
So, like, if you had your druthers when you went there, you would have just scooped your hands into the rice and poured it on your
Yeah, exactly. Like,
no utensils.
Don't look at me.
Yeah. I mean, if you want, you can unscrew this cap. We have a little wine left. You can dump it on your head. If you
That's
feel
how
it.
This is going to end.
We won't judge.
I will protect the podcast equipment, but I will do that.
I mean, the parking lot's there for a reason.
I like how you just equate Matt just dumping things on his head. Like, that's how he eats.
You said I'm a monster.
A trough, basically. Well, I grew up with, like, two older brothers, and, like, food was, we were always, you know, like, fighting for food.
I grew up with a brother who was constantly stealing off my plate.
Yeah, and my brother, like, if I didn't eat fast enough, they would just take, take the food off my plate if I didn't eat fast enough. And now, still, when we all three get together, it's kind of like, you know, like, eat fest. In the best way, but it's like, it's a lot of food. Like, I come back and I'm like, I need to like just take a break from food for like, it's like 8 hours. I'm like, I'm good. You know, you're like eating lunch and planning dinner, you know, like that kind of stuff.
For sure.
Yeah.
Which is, I say that's my idea of hell, but also when I'm doing it, I'm like, everything is delicious and I'm really happy to be doing this. Mm-hmm. So you have to take everything I'm saying with a big grain of salt. But I am curious as a vegetarian, I was vegetarian like all through high school and college. And I felt like it was so much harder for other people than it was for me when it came to...
Oh, see, I part of this is old, like, just paranoia about eating with people from a history of eating disorder. See, people are used to me not eating in high school. I'm a vegetarian who actually gets annoyed if I shouldn't, but I get annoyed if the host is like, and I made something separate vegetarian for you. And I'm like, now I have to eat it. Now I have to finish it. Now I would rather just like Thanksgiving. I would rather eat more just a plate full of stuffing. I hope it doesn't make it hard for other people, but I try and emphasize, like, don't do anything special for me.
Oh, no, I don't mean hard, inconvenient, but hard, like, they make more of an issue of it than it actually is for you.
Oh, yeah, no, people attack vegans and vegetarians left and right. There are the people that are like, you shouldn't be eating this, you shouldn't be eating that, and I'm like, I'm not one of those. I'm one of the, like, I'm gonna do my own thing, just like, good on you for eating what you need to.
Yeah.
Do your own thing.
But it is also the thing of like, oh, but she's coming, but what are we going to do?
Well,
and
it's
like, I don't care. I'm fine. And then I'll eat that little thing of pasta salad and that's it.
Right. Yeah. People expect it to be bad and it's not. And I don't know what vegetarians are out there like giving this pressure. I mean, I guess there are. Yeah. There's PETA out there like yelling at people.
Yeah. But I never knew any of those people.
Same here. I never understood why people, I'm like, we're frail vegetarians. We don't have the oomph. I'm going to attack you with a stick of asparagus. Why were you vegetarian? What were your...
I think at the time it was, you know, from my love of animals.
Yeah,
it's not that I have stopped loving animals.
But some people just need to eat meat. I honestly believe that.
I think just out of... We have the recurring theme here is like, I am a lazy... food is just a delivery system to... It's all about convenience for me. And I think that that's what it... As an adult outside of like high school and college, it somehow became like a thing that I was just like, I'm not, you know, willing to think about.
Are you like a fast food person? Do you do like McDonald's? Okay.
I won't go that far, but
I'm glad you weren't a vegetarian. There's so many people who are like, oh, it must be so healthy. And I'm like, dude, the first like few years as a vegetarian, I was 13. I lived off cheese pizza.
Oh,
I'm like, no,
me too. Yeah. I would go to like all the
microwave bean and cheese burritos. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I will go to like the Wendy's that was sort of our hangout and
fries and a shake, man, the best lunch ever.
Their veggie burger. Yeah, it was fries and a shake and a veggie burger, which was just a bun with cheese. I don't even like cheese, so I was just eating a bun with like mustard on it and like
just a mustard bun.
Yeah.
That's like when I worked at a movie theater, like you could eat the buns because they didn't count them. They counted the hot dogs. So the buns were like, you could eat those. So we would have like just bun with mustard.
Yeah. Like that. Because at the time you're like, I don't care. I'm just.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
Should we get into our lightning round?
Yeah, we have a lightning round. We asked some silly wine trivia.
You ready?
Yes.
You ready? And also just silly trivia now.
Okay, good.
Oh, well, so this is a fun one. Do you want to ask it? I think you wrote down the exact phrasing about the diethyl.
About the what?
The diethyl. The scandal?
Oh, that
scandal
one.
Question.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, that one. Sorry,
You wrote it out.
Okay. What?
Because we're drinking Austrian wine.
We'll go right to that.
Gotcha.
What toxic substance was responsible for the Austrian wine scandal of 1985?
What toxic substance?
Yeah.
I can't even think of a toxic substance.
It's also okay. It's used in automobiles.
Uh-huh.
Gasoline?
No.
You need it. We don't need it in LA usually because it's pretty warm here.
We don't need it in L.A.?
Yeah, but you use it a lot in Ohio. Like, if you don't have it, your car maybe won't start in the winter.
I can't believe I don't know the answer to this.
Antifreeze.
Antifreeze. Oh, yes. My mind was going to like Freon glycol.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the same thing?
Freon's for air conditioning.
Okay. That's okay. The exact opposite. Yeah. Wow.
It's hard under pressure to think of car stuff.
These are some deep cuts. Does anyone ever know the answer to this?
I just thought it was amusing because in 1985, some idiot. He tried to claim the antifreeze on his tax return, which as a winemaker he shouldn't do because that's they tested his wine and he was apparently putting very tiny amounts of it into the wine will increase the body.
Yeah,
make it
more
like
the wine's a little fuller. So it gave the illusion probably of a more expensive wine because a little bit fuller. So he's putting trace amounts of antifreeze in the wine.
He tried to claim it on his tax return.
And then he tried to claim it on his tax return.
I guess he wasn't the only one doing doing it though. So, oh my God. But that was that led to the great wines we have now, because then Austria went through this whole revamping of their whole wine systems. Like, we have to have really strict rules about what you can do and how. And
wow. So imagine what's being put in the wines in America.
I was just going to say, what?
Charles Schaaf.
Don't you worry that there is a version of that happening at this time that we haven't discovered yet?
For sure. I mean, like, there are things other than grapes being fermented in like large batches. I'm sure.
Oh no! I mean, yeah, most. Oh shit! I'm like,
just like, you know, it's like a Back to the Future where he just grabs any organic matter and throws it into the bin. That's Charles Schaaf. Mm. Delicious.
It's not like that in whatever we're drinking tonight, because it's delightful.
Delightful. Oh, and this, okay, so the next one, this is not a wine question.
No. Okay.
This is, okay, so I'm going to show you a picture of this person.
Oh, yeah.
This
okay.
We found another Matt McConkie.
We found another Matt McConkie.
We're like,
his name is Matt McConkie?
This guy's name is Matt McConkie.
I wish I knew him, but I definitely don't. Okay. I see a what is this?
He's a lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
JSM. I know that there is another gay Matt McConkie who's like maybe around my age.
In LA?
Who lives in, I want to say, Utah, because he found me on Facebook and sent a message. And it's like, hey, that's my name. I'm gay, too. I'm like, cool.
Great.
That's
kind
of the end of it. No. There's nothing else to
that's
say.
That's a weird come online.
I've actually had that with my, like, the spelling of my name.
Oh,
people
really?
Are like, oh, my name's Sean, S-E-J-U-G-H-N, too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool. Dot, dot, dot.
I would never marry another Ellen.
Yeah.
Even if it was generous. Because Portia would kick my ass.
Portia would kick your ass.
That's a good reason.
So, okay, so he's a lawyer. I was but what's the name of the law firm?
Well, I'm
just guess.
Because I saw the letters JSM above his head.
Okay.
I'm gonna
it's the last letter of that.
The problem with guessing this is that it will sound really anti-Semitic, whatever guess I'm gonna, you know what I mean?
Because it's I don't know, it's a
I just mean because the names of law firms, there's a certain stereotype
there's
around
a certain
this.
Sure, that's true.
But a J? I mean,
no, but it's also, but it's the last one. It's the M.
It's the M.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, McConkie must be the M. He didn't make partner? Is that what you're
telling
me?
Didn't make a partner.
Damn it.
Oh, no.
Or you're saying the M is the name that falls into the stereotype that
It's the name of the law firm, yeah.
Oh.
But he's the main. He works for the. I don't know why
Sean,
I know so much about this guy. You guys, this is what happens
Dude,
when you
just,
are
like,
Googling.
Pulled that up and photographed. I didn't know he went down this. I left.
What
after.
A rabbit hole!
You didn't know I was going to ask this question?
No, I knew you were going to ask it. I just thought you were going to like. I didn't know you memorized all this information.
You really did.
I was just going to ask, what profession does he do? And then
you got really intrigued by the other.
You are
Matt
not
McConkie.
Afraid to go from A to C,
no.
Or A to F, maybe, or A to F, M. Yes. I guess in this case,
I put the work in, even
you really
when it's
do.
Even
he
when
does.
It's like a complete side
I just
road,
said, okay, Sean.
Dead end. The work was put in. Meyer.
I wish I knew. Oh,
Meyer.
Okay, yeah,
Meyer. Meyer.
Question
Lawson.
Number three.
She's like, there's no segue out of that,
no.
out of that dead end.
This is also not like directly about wine. It's about wine accessories. What wine accessory is Austria famous for?
Wine accessory? I can't even think of a one. That's my problem. I mean, the
well,
only
you
thing
commented
I can think of is,
on what a wine accessory is. I'm gesturing.
I mean,
earlier
I commented on it being a screw cap. I mean,
on what wine?
A,
you commented
label?
On wine accessories,
like things you need.
You commented
to
on
drink
wine.
Wine.
I commented on goblets. So is it famous for wine glasses?
Yeah!
Oh, my goodness!
Oh,
15,000
oh
points. 15,000. I'm going to give him 15,000. Is that okay, Ellen?
Yeah,
okay.
Totally.
Wow.
15,000 points for that.
Zolto, Riedel, Zweisel, they're all Austrian.
Yeah.
Crystal.
Although I thought you were naming people from the Meyer Law Firm. I thought
no, Sean can
funny
do that.
Thing, everyone who works there is Austrian, but the partners are Jewish. It's
you do know a lot about this place.
It's
crazy.
So weird. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and Fridays are casual Fridays.
Well, that's just common sense.
Yeah, and they have pizza for lunch.
Mm. Uh-huh.
I don't know.
I guess we do have a lot in common, me and the other Matt McConkie.
It's like, I know nothing about you. I know a lot about this mythical Matt McConkie.
There's like a famous, I guess he passed away, but a famous jump skier named McConkie.
Oh, like a long, like a high jump ski?
I want to, he did like.
What is the like history of McConkie? Do you know?
Don't know. Don't care.
All right.
You know
it's
what?
A great name. It's a really
but
great
But you could
name.
Contact Thank this you. Lawyer and ask him what his.
I know. Maybe. It's I guess a Scotch-Irish name. And okay. I, because I was adopted, grew up. up feeling very like, oh, yeah, that's just a name. I don't care. You know,
yeah.
Like,
oh, I see. Yeah, and, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so my parents would talk about their, when they weren't talking about potatoes, they would talk about their own heritage. I was always just, just kind of like, cool. Gotcha. That doesn't really apply to me. You know?
Have you done the like 23andMe ancestry thing?
No, I've done, I mean, you don't want my whole fucking one man show, but I know my
no,
birth parents.
No, we do.
Now.
I want to see it now.
I know my birth parents now.
Wow.
They're
are they Texan?
No, one is in Jersey, one's in Florida. My father is actually a chef.
Oh,
went to visit him recently, and his last name's Casciato. He's Italian, and so went to visit him and did the thing where we walk through all the restaurants, and everyone's like, "Hey chef!"
Wow, I'm seeing more and more psychology behind
yes,
your mind.
Yeah,
it's
I know,
all
exactly.
coming out.
I'm getting
no,
it now.
This is good.
There's a lot of layers to this small plate food thing,
but he's not a McConkie.
Not a McConkie. No. Well, on that note, last question, final question.
Yes. Now that we all have gotten a little glum over here. We like to bring a little joy into the end. So, what's giving you joy?
Bringing you joy, God. Happiness.
You know, I mean, my dog. You know, it's such a simple answer. Is she still with
us?
By the way,
she's right over here. She's curled under
Zig's
feet.
She's passed out over there. Okay, she has been a real comfort. And we were joking about it before we recorded, but we literally her dog bed is very large, and it's a Tempur-Pedic, so it's actually very comfortable. And
my
I will curl up behind her and spoon her and take a nap. And, she, you know, she these poor dogs that are just like we just pour all of our obsessive love into them and project so much onto them that isn't even there. And I totally do all that. But she just takes it.
Yeah.
And it's just been great. It has been really, you know, this has been a tough year for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
And she's just been a real, you know, a real.
When did you get her?
Only in April.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So pretty recently.
Yeah. I got my dog in February. So, yeah, I'm kind of still on the new dog thing, too.
You're still in the honeymoon phase as well.
Still in the honeymoon phase. No, but there's something, you know, just really loving and consistent about a dog and I've never had before.
Well, and it kind of speaks to the same thing we have been talking about, which is like they do force you to be in the moment sometimes in a way that you aren't, you know, naturally going to do.
Well, they force you to be in their moment.
which it's like better than being in no moment,
exactly,
which is where I normally would be.
It's true. They are totally spaced out. It does bring you back for sure.
Yeah.
Both of you had dogs before? Or?
I grew up with dogs, but then never as an adult, which everyone was always weird by. I was like the go-to dog sitter for all of my friends who had dogs and was just had these like you know crazy close relationships. Mm-hmm. Everyone was like, why don't you have one? And I was just like, it's too important. Like I have to do it when I'm ready.
I was the same way. Yeah, I waited a long time to get a dog because I lived alone for like 5 years before I had a dog. And everyone was like, this is perfect for a dog. Why don't you have a dog? And I'm like, I don't know. It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
I was like,
it is.
Fuck. This is like every day.
Yeah.
Multiple times a day I need to, you know.
Yeah. And I've got an older gal. This is medication. This is the whole thing. But it's so worth it.
Yeah. You know? It really is. Yeah. They're so sweet.
Yeah.
She just, it's really great. It makes me look at things less precious, you know, and in the best way possible. It's like, oh, it really doesn't matter. Like I was like trying to keep everything in this like order and this line. And they're kind of like, and they're
exactly.
like, fuck it. And they're like, oh, right. It is kind of fuck it.
Yeah.
Now I got to get a cat soon. I'm a cat person.
You can get a cat.
Person.
You can get a cat. Get a cat. Just don't get a bird. Just don't get a bird.
Okay.
Well, don't get them at the same time. But get a bird if you want to get
that
a bird.
That could also be a hilarious show, though. Sorry.
Ellen's bird gets eaten by her cat.
Yeah, it's just
who does she
Ellen
want more?
Clifford, a cat and a bird. Oh. And the hilarity ensues. Matt, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks for sharing. Thank you, Gregory Condes, for our wines and our loving sponsorship.
Yes. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Oh, and thanks, Zig.
Thanks, Zig.
Knock things over.
Thanks for listening. Matt McConkie.
Yeah. Yay. So much fun. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
He's not here to say you're welcome, but we're sure in his heart. He's so glad he came.
We are sure.
We're sure. But everybody else, please get on iTunes and write us a lovely review.
Yeah, please. Jump on iTunes.
It really helps us
Send
get
us
more
an
listeners.
Send us an email to the wine situation. That's wine with an H.
At gmail.com.
Check out the Insta.
Check out the twit.
Don't be a twit.
Don't be a twit. Get on the twit.
You guys got extra characters now to talk to us.
Oh, that's right. Really, yeah, some people do.
Yeah. Oh.
Unless you're in Japan. If you're in Japan listening, I'm sorry, but your words are shorter. See,
for our Japanese fan base, we're big in Japan.
It's true.
Just like Tom Waits, guys, we're big.
Just
in
like
Japan.
Obama listens to us. Japan loves us.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, UCB.
Thank you to Dr. America Comedy for our song. Thanks to all our wine friends. Whoever's
Covell, Gregory Condes.
Whoever's taught us anything.
Yeah, whoever taught us anything.
Whoever just poured us something in a glass and was like, try this.
Mm-hmm.
Anything.
Anything.
Cyanide.
Yeah. There's a countless number of people that have done that for me. Tried to poison me?
Yeah.
No, I mean, just kidding. No.
I mean, well, alcohol technically is poison. We're trying to kill you.
Terrible.
We're not trying to kill you. This is why it always gets dark.
Cutting this out.
Oh.
Don't tarnish the brand.
We love you, and we just want you to drink good wine.
Just drink responsibly and drink good wine and enjoy the flavors. As I like to say, wine is food.
It's true.
Wine is not.
You guys should see the shoulder action going.
Yeah,
this
I'm just working shoulders. Wine is food. Dig in.
Get it in your glass.
Next week we have a very special episode. It's an on the road episode.
Yeah, we are going to do our intro level of the Court Masters Sommeliers program. Wait, the Court of Master Sommeliers. We're going to do the intro. Next week, Sean and I are going to do the intro level of the Court of Master Sommeliers. It took me like five times to say that right, but I think I got it.
We're doing it. Yeah, so we're going to
thank God this test isn't oral. Yeah.
Hopefully we won't get arrested or thrown out of there.
We're going to be shacking up in a hotel with a bunch of other psalms, so maybe we'll get some bonus footage.
Yeah. We'll have to do some Billy Eichner, like on the street stuff.
Hey, I might put a shout out on the Guild Psalm side and see if other people there want to be
like, hey, excuse me.
Excuse me.
We're the Dominant Grapes of Burgundy.
What are you? Pinot Chardonnay, Aligoté, and Gamay.
What is Amy Poehler drinking right now? That's my best Billy Eichner impersonation, guys.
What is she drinking?
Chardonnay.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
I just drink wine. I don't fuck with IPA. I just drink wine. I don't fuck with Minute Maid. I just drink wine. I don't fuck with coffee, mate. I just drink wine. Give me red, white, or rosé. Don't touch me, motherfucker. I'm a sommelier.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.